This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Hello, everybody. This is Patricia W. Fisher for Readers Entertainment Radio. It is Thursday, March 21st. It is World Poetry Day. So if you've had a poem you've always loved, maybe share it with someone who hasn't heard it or maybe hasn't. You don't know if they've heard it. Yesterday was Alien Abduction Day, so glad all of you are back on Earth. And then we also have Thor's Day, of course, that we always celebrate. So wherever you are, Chris Hemsworth, we're thinking about you, and you always have an open invitation to come on the show. But today we're going to talk to Eva Saylors. She began writing stories when she was very young and wrote almost constantly till she was in her mid-20s. She took a bit of a break, and she came back to it to pursue her old dream of becoming a published author. She loves crafting historical fiction that brings humanity to real times and events that otherwise might seem impersonal and distant, and making doodles to go with them. So it's always fun to see what she's come up with. When she's not writing, she's teaching her human children, eating chocolate, cooking or baking, wasting time on Twitter, which is very easy to do, and making weird shrieky noises every time she sees her non-human children, so all those cute four-legged critters. Also enjoys driving in snow when the opportunity arrives because snow is fabulous, which is true. So if you need to find Eva, she's at her website, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. All of those write-ups are there, and the write-up of all the links are in the write-up for the show. So welcome today, Miss Eva Saylors. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So let's go ahead and let's start with, you have been writing stories very young. Do you remember what your very first story was that you wrote? What was it about?
Oh, man. I remember writing a story about Dad losing a wallet. I do remember that because my dad lost his wallet right before going to work. And I think I was probably about 8. And it was probably about 50 words long, but
okay.
Yeah,
it was something.
Yeah.
And was there any particular catalyst that made you want to write, or was it just something you sat down and did, or what was the process?
Yeah, I don't really remember that there was a specific book, or I know some people say, well, this particular book or whatever made me want to write, but it just seemed like I was always doing it. I don't remember specifically. It just kind of happened.
Do you come from a long line of storytellers?
Not really. I don't know of anyone else in my family who writes. And I don't actually know a whole lot about my family. There aren't a lot of stories that have been passed down. So, I'm not sure where it came from.
Just kind of, it just is there.
Yeah.
And you embraced it early, which is good for us as readers. So tell me, if you were a big writer, I'm guessing you were a big reader as well.
Yes, definitely.
So tell me some of the books that you grew up with.
Let's see. I loved The Boxcar Children. I would go through phases of reading the same book over and over and over again. I heard The Boxcar Children, I did that with Charlotte's Web, Trumpet of the Swan. When I was a bit older, I was really into Little Women and everything else that Louisa May Alcott wrote. Let's see. Those are probably the ones that are most memorable.
And as you got older, did you start reading books like from your mom's library or grandma's library? Did you end up reading romances or historical fiction? Or how did you roll into that?
I kind of turned my nose up at romance because that's what all my friends were reading, and I didn't want to be like everybody else.
Sure.
Which is silly because I do, there's always some romance in everything that I write, even though that's not the focus.
Sure.
I do remember when I was 14 or 15, a friend introduced me to a series by a Christian fiction author that was about the Irish in the 1850s.
Okay.
And that was kind of my first more grown-up historical reading experience.
Okay.
And I think that kind of, I kind of started me thinking maybe, you know, history was interesting to me. I didn't really start writing anything historical until later, but it was definitely
okay.
something that was in my head. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like you love that whole the process, you know, of course, of just the written words and a really cool adventure. Do you remember what mm-hmm. the book was that you were introduced to, that first historical fiction book?
Yeah, it was called Song of the Silent Heart by B.J. Hoff.
Okay.
And there were five books in the series, and yeah, I was obsessed. My friend and I were both. We just read them and reread them, and gosh. And then it was funny. I met somebody later in life who also had read those books at about the same time, and it was funny to meet somebody else who had also fangirled over these same books. And it was entertaining.
What was it about them that really kind of grabbed your attention?
I really liked the melodrama, I guess. It was very dramatic.
Okay.
And as a teenager, everything I wrote was dramatic. Maybe that's normal, I don't know. But I liked that there was so much. Everything was, what's the word I want? High stakes, maybe? I don't know. Like,
sure.
All or nothing, everything, all the time.
right.
Yeah.
I mean, they sound like vividly rich books. Like you could paint paint it in your brain as they're telling you the story.
Yeah. The characters were great. There was one harp playing big dude that everybody, all three of us that I know of that loved these books, we all crushed on him. We're like, he's so hot. And
the first book boyfriend, huh?
Yeah, probably so, actually.
Yeah. Oh. So tell me, did you, when you were in high school and then into college, you were writing this whole time? Did you foster that love for writing through English classes or journalism or, you know, degrees? Where did you take that?
Actually, I was homeschooled.
Okay.
We were living in Idaho, and I only completed ninth grade because you only legally have to do eight grades at that time anyway. I don't know what it's like now.
Okay.
And I didn't go to college for complicated reasons, but I definitely would have, if I had gone, I would definitely have taken writing and, you know, that kind of thing, because that was definitely more my thing than math and technical stuff. Mostly I read a lot, and I've always liked words, and so yeah, I don't have any like professional training.
Okay.
Yeah, it just was something that I liked and for sure kind of on my own, I guess.
But it sounds like, I mean, your own personal love for the story and the richness of telling a tale certainly stuck with you.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So tell me, so you're in your mid-20s and you took a little bit of a break from writing. What brought you back to that?
It's kind of funny, actually. I started writing fan fiction, and
okay.
I had always mercilessly made fun of people who wrote fan fiction, so I was kind of like not wanting to tell anybody that I was doing this thing that I had mocked so much before.
Okay, fair enough.
So I got into that. I wrote like this novel length fan fiction. It's longer than my book, actually.
Okay.
And I just realized I'd really missed writing and wanted to get back into it and write my own stuff again. So, yeah, it was kind of a good exercise to just get back into the flow of creating words and making time for that every day and stuff like that. So I am fully in support of people who write fan fiction now.
Well, what did you, what fan fiction were you in? I mean, what did you focus on?
It was Codename Verity, Rose Under Fire fan fiction. I took the two characters that I shipped and I basically wrote a book about them because I didn't think that we would probably ever get one. So,
okay.
yeah.
Well, so, okay. So, if you're just now tuning in, we're Readers Entertainment Radio with Ava Sailors, and she has her first book out, and it is set during World War I, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and it's called The Hearts, The War in Our Hearts. So tell me a little bit about this book.
Okay, it's set in 1916, mostly the present-day timeline is in France, toward the end of the Battle of the Somme, so like late 1916.
Okay.
It covers the main character. It kind of goes and tells his backstory as well, so it also covers like the time period between 1880 and when he was born and 1916. So the main character is a captain in the army, and he finds this teenage girl abandoned on a farm, and she's been hurt, and she can't talk, and so he kind of takes her under his wing, and she doesn't want to leave him. And so she dresses as a boy to keep from being noticed until he can find somewhere to take her.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's sort of just the story of their little friendship. He's kind of like a dad to her because she didn't have a dad, and it's found family, I guess. Is that what they call it?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And so how did you come up with the story?
Originally, it was going to be the girl's story.
Okay.
The first image that came into my head was of the girl standing in the barn, and I kind of had a picture of what she looked like. And I was thinking I could tell her story because she likes to draw. I could tell her story like in pictures. But then I was like, well, why is she in the barn? Why is she in trouble? And then the guy who eventually took over and became the main character came in. And so it's not an illustrated book as it was originally intended to be, but I like how it came out anyway.
Right.
And she's still the other main character, so it's not like I lost out on her part in the story at all.
Right. And so the write-up on Amazon, you have France, 1916. Estelle Graham faces a nightmare, expecting to meet her beloved husband and bring their newly adopted daughter home to Scotland. She instead finds him gravely injured and unconscious in a casualty station. As she fights for his care, she takes solace in his journals and letters. In a farmhouse in Somme, Captain Jamie Graham is forever changed when he meets young Aveline Perrault, both of them broken and walled off from the cruel and cold world around them, made even crueler and colder by the Great War. The pair form an unlikely bond, and she finds him the father she never had. With her love, he faces the pain from his own childhood. So you told us a little bit about Jamie and Aveline. Estelle, you're talking about adoption as well at that time. Mm-hmm. Where did you get, how did you do your research on all of this?
I read so many books. I read enough books to write like many, many, many books. it was full immersion, very intense. For this particular book, the ones that ended up being the most relevant, I have a list on my website. But there's a book called The Psalm Day by Day Account, I think, and that one has things like what the weather was like every day and who was doing what, where along the line, very detailed. There's another one, the 15th Scottish Division, which is also extremely detailed, and most of it wasn't relevant, but that's the division that Graham's division is loosely based on. So I kind of used that as a, you know, where they were at any given time. It's kind of based on that.
Right.
And then it goes, I took a lot from A Childhood in Scotland by Christian Miller, which is an amazing little book. It's a real quick read. And she grew up in a castle in Scotland in the 20s. So it's a little bit later than, than he would have grown up, but not much really changes, you know. So there's a lot I gleaned consciously and subconsciously from that book.
So you have all the, so if you go onto her website, you have under books, it says The War in Our Hearts. It talks about the book. It talks about your characters. And you also have sketches here.
Yeah.
So you sketch all these.
Yes, I do.
They're beautiful. And I like your cat one. You have one that's if you like cats.
Yes.
She has a beautiful one. Uh-huh. There's two different cat ones. They're lovely. But you just, you have the, you have these lovely, these pencil drawings or charcoal?
They're pencil, yeah.
Yeah. So absolutely, I mean, take a peek at them because they're just absolutely lovely. And then you also, if that's not enough for your readers, you have a playlist for the book. And then under that, you have all the recommended reading you just mentioned. So, I mean, you gave the readers just a ton of extra information to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, the playlist, I don't think it really comes up in the blurb at all, but music is kind of a big deal, too. Jamie Graham is a musician, so there's lots of music referred to and quoted, and so the playlist was really, a lot of it is stuff that's either mentioned in the text or alluded to or relevant to. It was super easy to make a playlist for it since there's already so much music in the story.
Sure.
But I thought it would be great for people who maybe aren't familiar with those that music to be able to go and hear what it sounds like. So,
When you're doing this and you're setting it in France and then in Scotland, were those places that you had just kind of randomly chosen, or were those really like, I want to write about World War One in Scotland, I want to write about it in France?
Well, I have Scottish ancestry, so I'm just kind of fascinated by Scotland. My ancestors were McPhees, and I used that name for one of the characters. France, it's easy to find stuff about the Western Front and the Battle of the Somme particularly, so it was kind of a good starting place because there was a lot of information I could easily find. And I know a little French, so it helped to, you know, be able to read a little bit of French to do research. So, yeah, it was not, I don't have any particular connection to France specifically. aside from that it was a little bit easier to do research for that area and that battle than it is for a lot of others.
Right. And it's interesting because my daughter actually spent a month in France in the base of the Alps in a place called Aix-les-Bains, which is was a place where a lot of the Allied soldiers were because the Germans couldn't get up into the Alps. And so it was kind of a recuperation. They had some natural springs, and a lot of soldiers were either, you know, recuperated and sent back or sent home. And so it was the 100th anniversary this past summer. And so she was able to be there when they were celebrating, you know, 100 years out of the war, of World War One. So it was very interesting to be, like, in the middle of it, where things happened.
Yeah.
So it was very cool. And it's interesting to talk to the people in the town because they remember the soldiers very fondly and how appreciative they were that everybody was working together. And it was a very interesting discussion with them. So when I see something like this set in the countryside in France, it's kind of think about that, you know, the camaraderie and wanting to be, everybody wanting to go home, obviously, and it to be over.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So tell me, so you've got this book out. It comes out next week, or the 24th.
Yeah, on Sunday. Yep.
Okay.
A couple days from now.
Right, and you have your pre-order up, which is fabulous. So go grab the book. And so I'll say it again, The War in Our Hearts. And there's also a pre-order link on her website. And she also has them on her social media. So you've got this book coming out. And then what is your next project going to be?
My next project is a middle grade historical novel, which is loosely connected to this one. It takes place 10 years later in Oregon, so right in my own stomping grounds.
Okay.
There are a few little clues dropped in The War in Our Hearts as to how in the world two remote locations can be connected. But
sure.
Anyway... Yeah. So I'm.
Can you tell us too much about it, or is it still kind of a work in progress?
Oh yeah, I can. It's about two 10-year-old kids, and the boy, his parents kind of just are never around, and they're terribly poor, and he doesn't understand why they both work so hard and they don't have any money, and why they're never at home to be mom and dad, you know.
Sure.
And he makes friends with one of his classmates' parents are around, but they're not very nice to her. So it's kind of just a sort of a friendship thing, the way they interact with each other and help each other with their different weirdness in their families.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and... obviously, 1925, that's the middle of Prohibition, which doesn't figure in real strongly because it's a children's book, but it's kind
sure.
of there a little bit.
Well, yeah, because it was certainly a big deal going on at that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always interesting to talk. I've got four kids, and I do talk about different things, and it's there at different ages what comes up with history and everything. So what seems kind of an obvious thing, I always find it interesting at what age they pick that up. It's like, well, that was silly to do. It's like, yes, it was.
Yep.
You're right. Yeah. So it's always very enlightening, I should say. So you've got your middle grade book. You've got your new book coming up, War in Our Hearts, coming out Sunday. What things are you wanting to write or in the future or hoping or have put like the basic outline down for? What else you got coming up?
I've also got mostly completed post-World War II adult novel.
Okay.
That's set in Argentina.
Okay.
So it kind of addresses the escaped Nazi war criminals and also has a autistic main character, so it's kind of addressing some things that they didn't have names for back then, but
right.
You know, kind of, I don't know, that just kind of happened organically, but
right.
So there's that, and I've got another World War One story that's, I've got some of it written, but I kind of have to set it aside for the moment until I can do some more research for it. Yeah, so I've got several things in the works. Two almost completed, if you count the middle grade one. So, there will be more.
Good. Good. So what advice do you have for writers out there who are thinking of, you know, putting that story down that they can't seem to get out of their head, or somebody who said, I always wanted to write a book? What is some advice you have for them?
I would say just sit down and start writing, and it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be perfect. Word vomit on a page can always be sorted out later.
exactly, yeah.
It's just getting it, you know, it will take shape eventually. Another thing I would suggest would be, especially on Twitter, there are so many great writing people on there that you can, that can support each other, and you can find people who write your same genre or not. I've got people from all kinds of genres on my Twitter, and it's great to just encourage each other and see how your progress is doing, and bounce ideas off people, ask questions, obscure weird research things that, hey, does anybody know, blah, 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 and somebody will come up with a link. And so Twitter is great for that.
Right.
And,
you know, I think
chats
do you use like hashtag community, writer community or writing community to kind of get people to look? Or?
There is that. There's also Am Writing is another one. It seems like writing community has kind of taken precedence recently over that one.
Yeah.
There's Am Reading, if you want to talk about what you're reading. And then there's also writer-related chats that have been really helpful, too. Some of them are role play, where you go as one of your characters. Some of them are just talking about the craft of writing. So, yeah, there's so much there. I don't always have time to take part, but they've been very useful, especially in the early days of figuring out what I was doing.
Yes. It's interesting because I think it's important to have that writer's group with you, because you want to know, one, you're not alone in this journey. But also it's important to be around a group of people who you don't have to explain why you're writing a book. They all get that you have a story to tell. And so you can skip that whole, you know, if you're reading a book, it'd be like the whole first 3-4 chapters of it, because it's
right,
understood.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to worry so much about it. So it's really nice.
And
so, yeah,
blinks.
Writing hashtag.
Nobody blinks if you ask questions like, what kind of poison leaves no trace? And, you know, the joke of Google history and search history and the FBI and all that.
Right.
Writers.
Right. Yeah, just always qualify it as hashtag writer's life, you know, so you know everybody knows what's going on. Yeah. And then hashtag writing community, exactly. So, Ava, thank you so much for coming on today. I wish you the most luck, and please come back and talk to us. Yeah, when you have your next book out, we would love to talk to you about it. So if you are, be sure and look up Ava Sailors. It's Seylers. So Evaseylers.com. And she is also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. And I've got all the links there in the write-up of the show for you to find her. And her book is available now. So go check it out. And thank you again for coming to talk to us.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Absolutely. And keep on reading. And also, I just wanted to throw a shout out to all of the Rita Award nominees that were called this morning. So congratulations for receiving a nod for the top honor in romance writing and writing a book with romantic elements. Congratulations, everyone, and we will see you next time.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.